Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Voices of Legacy with your host, Pastor Carl E. Mitchell III. Today we have an incredible honor to have a guest sitting down with us on today's episode, a woman whose life spans a century of wisdom, resilience, and faith. Our esteemed guest, Miss Bernice Chambers. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. She was born January the 12th of 1925. Hopefully I got that right too. Here in Toledo, Ohio, at 100 years of age, she's Toledo first and only centenarian per our research as of this year, 2025. And if it isn't a remarkable enough story, she's also a twin. Her sister resides right now in Los Angeles, California. Is that still right?
Yes, that's right.
That's amazing. I'm going to have to shake your hand a little bit more, rub some of that off on me. Miss Chambers has witnessed the world changing in extraordinary ways, and we're going to talk about that today on the Voices of Legacy through the Great Depression, Civil Rights Movement, and numerous other things that have gone on over this last, 100 years. I am really, really thankful to experience this day and be honored with the presence of Miss Chambers. Good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Toledo, Ohio, on City Park Avenue. My doctor was Dr. Harris, and of course, we were born at home because we didn't go to the hospitals at that time. So the doctor came to the house and delivered me first, and then after 15 minutes, delivered my sister.
Oh my goodness. So they know there were two of you coming?
I'm sure they did.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sometimes there's a surprise. Yeah. Wow.
I never heard my mother say it was a surprise.
Oh, so. She expected. Yeah. That's amazing. So you were actually born near City Park?
On City Park Avenue.
Wow.
Right across from All Saints Episcopal Church. I believe it was a church back then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So what neighborhood did you come up in here in Toledo?
In the Nebraska.
So you stayed in the community then?
I was a Nebraska and Division area.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Ms. Chambers, can you take us back to your childhood? Because that's what everybody wants to hear. But what was your life like growing up in Toledo back in the 1920s and the 1930s?
It was nice. It was nice. We belonged to the Episcopal Church. And, of course, I liked that church because they had a member that was a farmer. And we would go to his farm and have picnics. And then we would have hay rides.
Oh, wow.
And then I remember... Oh, I even remember a murder that took place. But at that time, I didn't know the word murder, but I knew that a person that was killed that has the SOFO. He was a SOFO manager, that SOFO meat place that was killed. And I was able to go up to the corner and see that, you know, actually see the man who done it. And man lived in my neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness.
But back then, you know, with just looking, I didn't really have a whole lot of concerns, but I just knew what was happening. Oh, we went to parades. My mother took us to parades. We rode the streetcars, and I think they said it cost about a nickel or a dime, and we would go to Warbridge Park to see the fireworks, and my mother always took us to the parade. And I look back, and I don't see how she did that, because my dad died when I was 2 years old, and he was between the age of 27 and 30, and he died in the tuberculosis hospital. Oh, so goodness. I don't know what he looks like, and she never had a picture. Back then, I guess they didn't take pictures then.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to him in the next world.
Yeah.
But I had a joyful life, a play life. My mother was such a gentle person. Now, when you did wrong, she would take you and call you. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you first the incident that happened. I would get the paper, go up to the drugstore to pick up the paper for my neighbor, and she'd give me about $5 every week, you know, for bringing the paper to her.
Wow.
So I saved up the money until I could buy a fingernail polish, and it was plain polish, and my mother wouldn't know that I had bought it. So this girl liked to come to our house because my mother always had desserts, and I didn't want her to be there that time. So she told my mother that I had bought fingernail polish. And my mother said, yeah, mother always comes. She always has you come, and she have you sit down, and she talk to you about what you're doing. Well, that bread, that money could have bought a loaf of bread or something like that. But she had a strap. I remember that one black strap, and she would hit you with it, and that was all. She wasn't mean, you know, just real, talk to you real nice and soft, sweet person.
Discipline, not abuse.
Yes, and she had long hair, and me and my sister would get and sit in the chair next to her and let the hair come over our head to make it like it was our hair.
Wow. That is amazing.
And we was always dressed to go to church. Mm-hmm. And the clothes that we wore to school, we didn't wear to church. We had special church clothes, you know. And when the church clothes got old, they went to the school clothes, and then we got new clothes. And I remember her talking about the President Roosevelt. I kind of liked him, you know. Uh-huh. But I would hear him arguing about a person named Hoover. I didn't know who Hoover was, you know, and everything. That's all the political stuff that I, you know, knew about.
Yeah, back then. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And the trolleys back in the day here in Toledo. You know, if you are right around Toledo enough, like I think over on Ashland, you can see the tracks in the road there.
And you can see, this on Nebraska Avenue, we would go up to the corner and take the streetcar. There wasn't no buses then. Yeah. And we'd always go downtown to Titke's. And if it's an A&P, you went down there to get your groceries and everything. And it was so nice about milk. You didn't go to the store and buy milk. The milkman came. And the milk, the cream and the milk was at the top, and you always loved to have that cream. They would deliver it. In the same way, you didn't have furnace, so we had hot belly stoves. Mm-hmm. And so you'd have a card in the window to tell you how many pounds, you know,
of coal
you would need and so forth. And also with the milk. And so we would look, you know, for that, you know. And, of course, washing machines. Oh, we had the rub board.
Was that your job?
No, it wasn't my mom, but I saw my mother doing it. And then when they boiled the white clothes, they had a big can and then put a little fire under that to boil the white clothes and make them, you know, cleaner and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then with the washing machine, it didn't have a runner. You had to buy a wringer that was separate and then wring the clothes dry and then take them and put them on the line for them to dry. So, and then at school, when we got off at school, like I said, we didn't have the furnace. We had the potbelly stove. So when we come home from school, we had to make the fire. And my sister was always good at making the fire because you know what to lay it first, the wood or the paper or whatever, and start the fire. And then, of course, that belly stove would get so hot. And, of course, we didn't have showers, you know. You heat the water and pour it in the tub, and it was a big tent tub, big thing. Then you get behind the stove, and that's how you took your bath, you know.
Wow. Wow.
But it was fun to us. You know, we didn't know any difference, you know.
What did your mom do?
My mother worked in restaurants. She worked in private homes and things like that.
Awesome. And, and yourself, as you grew up?
Oh, now, as I grew up now, in the elementary school, they separated us because they couldn't tell us apart.
You and your sister.
Yeah, my sister couldn't tell us apart. And so so we played a lot of little tricks, you know. But then as I went on to high school, my sister did not like art. And so I did. So when the grades came out, I told the teacher my sister had gotten my grade, and I had gotten her grade, which was poor. And so I asked the teacher, I say, I've always did my work. She didn't. She said, well, where did you sit? And where I sit was determined that, you know, she had made the mistake. Mm-hmm. But that grade was never changed. And, of course, that made me mad.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And of course, did you all purposely play tricks on people since you look so much
after alike? We were older, we did.
Oh, okay.
With the guys.
Oh, my God. I'm almost scared to ask about one of those stories.
Well, you know, she had a boyfriend that I really didn't like. But one day I was going somewhere, and he saw me, and he thought it was her. Uh-huh. And I didn't let him know, and he took me where I wanted to go, and that stayed, you know, like that. I think my son got us mixed up one time, and her husband got us mixed up one
Your son?
Time. You know, he came up to me. I said, I'm not her, you know, like that.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. You guys must really look old.
Yeah.
You've lived through some of the most historic events in America and here in Toledo. What are some of the most, I guess, profound changes that you've seen over your lifetime thus far?
Well, I've seen the difference in the children, school children, because I taught school for 30 years.
Oh. And before TPS was TPS.
Pardon me?
Toledo Public Schools?
Yes, Toledo Public School. Mm-hmm. And I, as a teacher would come through, they would open the door or, you know, let you in mm-hmm. and greet you. Later on, though, they would rush in ahead of you and, you know, didn't care about you. You know, oh, it was a difference in the attitude, yeah. you know, that changed the over respect. The years. You could yeah. see, you know, that.
Mm. Where did you teach here in Toledo?
I taught at Waite High School. I taught elementary first at Oakdale.
Oh, okay.
And then after I went back and stuff, I went to Waite High School, and that's where I retired from Waite High School, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I had an interest in life, and I remember standing in the bread line with my mother, and we would be just playing, running around, waiting until it's her turn to go up to get the bread, and the bread would smell so good. I don't remember the place where we got it yeah. from, you know. But it seemed like everybody, because she was with three children, because she had a child before, mm-hmm. 1 year she had my older sister, Marion, one of my older sisters, and then the next year having twins, and then your husband dying, mm-hmm. you know. So we got help from the church, and we got help from a lot of places. And when Christmas come, and we'd get the toys, and sometimes they wouldn't be brand new toys, but we didn't know. It was mm-hmm. just, you know, it was the handed down. It was just glad to get it,
yeah.
get the toy, you know, and stuff like that. And as a little, real small, we was in a dance program, and I never forget that song, Tiny Little Fingerprints Around the House. And then we had to dress in these blue skirts and blue dresses, and it was so fascinating. And they liked to use us in a lot of things because we were twins.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome. Mm. So what do you think are some of the biggest lessons, since you brought up the young people and the change in attitude over the years, some of the greatest lessons that you think you could share with the younger generation based on your life's experiences?
I would say all of us have a life. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of choice.
Yes.
What you choose. Now, you can sit back and let everything come, and you let everything pass by, and you're not taking advantage of it. And sometimes you're gone in the wrong direction, and then the results of it. The results of your choice. Sometimes it can be good, and sometimes it can be disastrous.
Yeah.
And so when I got to the age where we would party and everything, I drank. But one thing, I never tried drugs. I was so afraid to try drugs. Just because of what I had heard about it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just so to see a life being wasted because of lack of knowledge, by not following the good direction or the good choices you made. Mm. And sometimes you think that the choice you make is you, but no, sometimes you're being influenced by something else, and you don't realize how you're being influenced. And how you influence is how you act. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it isn't, you know? So that's what one thing I always say, making the right choice and listening to older people. Well, I don't know about the older of this generation because it seems like they overtake their parents now. They don't want to listen, so I can't say, but I'm talking about in the when I came up, it was one thing, you really listened to what your parents had to say. And you don't have that now, you know, because sometimes the parents somehow don't have the control. The child has just taken over, and that really makes a little difference. And sometimes they take the choice of what their parents take, and maybe it's good and maybe it's not.
You think some of the parents are trying to be children themselves? I mean, trying to live out their childhood with their kids nowadays, and maybe the kids don't have the same type of respect that your generation, even my generation, I'm just in my 50s, but we had a respect that was almost unspoken. My father didn't have to say anything.
We'd be quiet. So, you know, sometimes your parents, you just had to look.
Yeah, that look, it's about worse than a whooping.
that makes a difference. So, so when you find a difference in the way they bring up children now and so forth. And sometimes they take the side of the child.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents come along. I remember I was in a spelling class in Miss Jones in my fourth grade class, and I was cheating on the spelling test. And the girl Sarah said, Miss Jones, Bernice is cheating. And I had to go up in front of the class.
Oh, no.
And then she had to tell my mother.
Oh.
And, of course, my mother had to talk with me, you know, like that. So you was always looking to what your parents was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
It's not so now. Not so now.
Yeah.
Sometimes the parents got to listen to what the kids say, because the kid is not paying any attention to what they're saying, you know.
Sometimes it seems as though the parents are defending the children, even in their wrongdoing. Fussing out the teacher. unfortunately.
It's amazing that what I see now is going on. I said, what? It's unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
To see the activities and to see what's going on is unbelievable when you come up with a life like I had, you know. And we would go to the movie. It was a Paramount Theater. We'd take the streetcar and we had to sit in the upper section. Didn't understand what prejudice was or whatever. If it was we didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Because we lived in mixed neighborhoods and we played with mixed children.
Yeah.
And so we had no idea what... Well, maybe the older people did, but I never heard anything like that. We were just kids playing together, living in the same neighborhood, and it was White and Mr. I can't think of his name, but they would always, you know, give the children candies and stuff like that. And so,
how much were the movies again?
Pardon me?
How much do you recall were the movies back then?
15 cents, whoa, 20 cents, because we go to the...
I think it's like $15 now.
Paramount. And of course... So we would most of the time walk down rather than to pay the nickel or something because we could walk down to the Paramount Theater and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and the community has changed so much since then. Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember when Social Security came in, because I heard my mother say something about, something about it, but I didn't quite understand. But I think I remember when it started.
Wow. Well, that would be during your lifetime. Yeah. What are some of the values that have helped guide you through the different seasons of your life?
First of all, the Father, God the Father.
I was going to go there.
That has been my lead choice. And from a child, as an older person, I began to look at life, and I saw all these, churches and things, and I was wondering, where is a real thing, you know? So I had a habit. I visited all churches, not one time, to get to see what was their direction to Christianity or religion and stuff. And I find bit by bit, and I just found out so much. So I said, look, I said, well, God, I don't want to be going to church for the fashion or form. I want to go for the real thing.
Yeah.
So I just kept searching. I stayed in the Episcopal Church till I was about 40 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then I changed over, and I'm still in that church over 56 years. But I was looking for truth, something that I could believe in, you know, and I found that. And so I was really grateful. So I stuck there because I didn't want to be jumping around like a rabbit, you know, going from church to church.
Yeah.
And I saw different ways to Christianity and how it came about and so forth. And it gave me an understanding. And then I began to spend the Bible. I read the Bible from page to page eight times.
Wow.
And then I went back and picked out the books. And I just finished that this year, book by book. You know, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that you
that I, you know, I knew something or something. And then, you know what? As much as I go over, I can find
there's
something.
Always new. Oh, yeah,
it's always is something. Is that new. What that means?
Yeah.
Or what? You know. So you know, you're forever learning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what church do you attend now?
I turned a Grace Communion.
Okay.
I was in Maumee. Mm-hmm. We used to be about 300 or 400. Now it's way down and so forth.
Well, shout out to Grace Communion and Maumee.
Yeah.
And your pastor?
Stuart Mahan, young man. I was in the church before he was even born.
Do you remind him of that sometimes?
No, he reminds me.
Well, he reminds you.
So, and I did do, I did teach in the reading program, literacy, and I taught a man that 49 years old how to read, you know.
Wow.
That was one of the things I did. And then I did Bible studying at the nursing home, and no title, no degree or nothing, just interest, you know, and concern and so forth. Like
and it seems as though you have enough to share.
Mm-hmm.
I think you learn a lot. As you said, if you listen, I'm a pastor as well. My senior assistant pastor is 85. He just turned 85 a week ago. And he consistently reminds me of what my grandfather, who preceded me in the ministry, would do or wouldn't do, because he was my grandfather's assistant pastor. I was a little guy. Mm-hmm. But there's so much that we can learn if we do exactly what you say. Just listen to our elders and respect them. There's so much that we can glean. Even me talking to you today, I'm learning a lot about my hometown. Wisdom and good counsel is very important. I'm so thankful for your wisdom today. And I know a lot of people want to know, how in the world did you get to 100? What's your secret? Or is it just the DNA?
Yeah, the secret. I think it's no secret. I think it's just how you allow yourself to be led. You know, you want the way that you can get wisdom. And you can't buy wisdom. You know, it has to be given to you. And then it guides you, you know, of how to, of what to do, or what when something is wrong. And sometimes I'll look up and say, oh, no. I use an example sometimes. I say, if someone's walking down the street and they drop a $10 bill, and you see it and they don't know it, I'd say, would you pick it up and keep it because they don't know, or would you say to the person, here, you dropped that? I say, now, see, it's a good way and a bad way to do everything.
There is.
It's a bad way to drink. It's a good way to drink when you do it in moderation, you know. And I have the time that I didn't do it in moderation, but I learned. And if you don't do bad things, you don't know when the good thing comes. But when you do bad things, you begin to know, oh, that's bad. I'm going to try it this way. It's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good advice. Is there a favorite Bible verse or piece of wisdom that has kept you grounded over the years?
It's so overall, you know. I think it's just no one thing, you know. Like I was reading over this morning. I always do my Bible study every morning. And it's I look forward to it because I'm looking, oh, what I'm going to learn today, or what I'm going to do today, or whatever, what to look out for and everything. But you look over and you see examples in the Bible wherever they went wrong, what would happen, and whether they would do good, you know.
What would happen?
Like they weren't getting rewards like this, but they might have a good land for farming, or they would have good weather. Those were the kind of rewards and stuff. Like we today would get titles and, you know, money and all that kind of stuff. And so would you look over that and see what can happen, things that go wrong in life. And because you, and because you're a Christian, everything's not going to go right.
No,
you got to. You're going to have some. That's not promised to you. Wealth is not promised to you, and so it's because we're going to always have poor people. But it's the looking at life or how you wish to be treated, then you should treat that person that way too. And when you do good, people see the good.
Yes.
You know, because I was at a store standing in line, and this lady was ordering a whole lot of things. You know. And so it made me stand in longer. And so when she did finally finish, and the clerk came over, she said, oh, I'm sorry about your wait for that. I said, oh, no, that's all right, you know. And then when she got my food and everything, she said, you know, I'd like to give you a menu, something on the menu. You were so nice. It wasn't so nice. It was just I was waiting, you know.
Patiently waiting,
So you see things can come out. You don't know what people notice.
That's true. Wow. If you could go back and give yourself, your younger self, one piece of advice, what do you think it would be?
I think, like I've always said, make the right choice. How do you know when you have the right choice? That's what your brain is for. You have everything that comes through your thoughts, and the way you behave is the way you think is how you behave. So listen. And the average person know right from wrong, but they don't know where evil and good is sometimes, you know. So try to keep the right thinking in your mind, and that way you can get guidance. Because if you put bad thinkings in there, what can it do? It causes murder, causes person to be a liar, it causes prostitutes, it causes all kinds of things of man getting in mind. So it's whatever you think. So keep the right thoughts in your mind, and then you can follow that. Okay, you can get the wrong ones in there, and they feel good. And a lot of times, feeling bad, doing the bad thing makes you feel real good, you know?
Let's be honest.
It seems like it's so much more pleasurable to do what is wrong. You know, I got by with this and I did this and that, you know.
It reminds me of that little boy. I don't know if you've seen this video. He took his grandmother's van and went joyriding, and then he was smoking with cigarettes, took her cigarettes and all that. And they asked this little boy, why'd you do it? He said, it's fun to do bad things. He was just a little guy.
That's the way the world is, why it is, because it's fun and doing things is not right, and you don't realize, you know, you're just right, you're being satisfied, so you know.
consequences. Well, we're so thankful to have you here for the Voices of Legacy, but I have a couple of other questions, and usually this is my final question, but I'm going to use that as my next to the last. What do you think your legacy is, and this is a big one, and what would you like for it to be?
My legacy would like to be that I was a person that had concern for others, and I always try to do what I was right, or what I thought was right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one. I think I might have to borrow that from you. Finally, Ms. Chambers, as we celebrate your 100 years of life here in 2025, hopefully for the rest of the year, I pray God they're celebrating. I know they are, your family and your friends and your church. What is one of the one message you would like to share with the world today? Because you're talking to the world right now.
I would like to, and I must mention that, you know, I had two children. I just lost my daughter in February. Oh.
So sorry to hear
that. I was hoping that she would be here for my celebration and, you know, things like that. Treat other people as you wish to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Because love is forever and love does no harm.
Mm. Love is patient. Love is kind. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's awesome. Well, Ms. Chambers, it's been absolutely an honor to have you here with your incredible story and your wisdom. And it almost seems as though there may be a book or something in the works for your life. Have you ever written a book or anything like that?
Have I ever?
Written a book?
No, and I have been asked so many times.
Yeah.
But I just never, you know, did it. And my grandson came, Granny, why don't you write a book? I said, too late now.
Oh, it's never too late.
Too late now.
Oh,
because I touch every continent but Antarctica.
Really?
Yeah, I climbed the Great Wall.
Of China?
In China.
Oh, my goodness.
I rode the camel in Egypt and the elephant in Thailand.
Wow.
Rode on the Nile River and in Russia. I was able to go to the parliament and sit on that stage room. No one was there.
Wow. So you were at the Kremlin?
There. Yeah, I went to Russia, and from Moscow to St. Petersburg, it was no restrooms, and it took hours, you know, to get there. But they had a place, a park-like or something, and women go one side and men go to the other side between Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Wow.
That was the restroom because there was no restrooms.
On a train?
On a bus.
On a bus. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But the best dancing was in Moscow. It was really good. You know, the dancers and things, they were just fabulous, you know.
Wow. Wow. So
yeah,
I got to ask. I thought I was done, but what was your favorite place to travel?
I like Mexico because I was at a bullfight, and I was laughing so hard and hollering so the people turned around looking at me instead of the fight.
Oh.
Yeah. I also bathed in the Dead Sea. And I also went put the note in the wall in Jerusalem where you send the notes up, you know.
Things. Did you
and
float?
You had to keep yourself covered, you know,
yes, ma'am,
as you go in there. Huh? And had communion in Bethlehem.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. You do have a book, and it's not too late. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much for
And a safari in Africa, West Africa. East Africa.
So have you been to Brazil?
Yeah.
You said every continent. Wow.
Well, I guess I better shut up now.
Oh, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Not at all.
Oh, see, things don't, when you're old, they don't come to you right. You're quick.
I'm so glad that they
wait.
Are. That's amazing. So you've been all over the world. In different eras and times, or
different, kind of year by year, going to different places and stuff like that.
That's amazing.
And in Africa, you didn't have a hotel. You had tents, and you'd zip up to close your tents, And so they say it's okay. I said, because those animals, walk around.
You were thinking about the lions.
And so they said, oh, they won't buy it. I said, it's always the first time.
You didn't want to be the first time.
Because I saw that cheetah run through and grab that animal and just swung it around. Oh, and I screamed.
Oh, my goodness.
It was fascinating.
So what we saw in Wild Kingdom, you were there.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I don't know if it's Wild Kingdom still. Wow. That's a huge wow. Well,
I will be giving some of these things at my celebration, but I'll have more together. I kind of didn't know what you want today,
When is that celebration? I mean,
next April.
Okay. Might have to make that. Just to get the stories and to celebrate you, because I'm so thankful that you came. And we're grateful for you sharing your life for the listeners of the Voices of Legacy. We thank you for sharing your journey with us today. And we pray may your years ahead continue to be filled with joy, love, and God's abundant blessings. Thank you so much for joining us on the Voices of Legacy and sharing your story today.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.